CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, my colleague. He's the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, starting with the state visit by Xi Jinping to Saudi Arabia early in December. We now turn to what Africa sees happening in the world island, Eurasia, with Russia at war with NATO, with China at this point very carefully reordering its ambitions, given that it's in league with Moscow, but it has its own future. It must look for energy security and food security. But Africa's watching as well. And the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit underway in Washington, D.C. is a good place to measure. Gregory, we've spoken at length of your observations about Ethiopia, and you mentioned Ethiopia is disappointed, to say the least, in the U.S. State Department seeming to support its opponent, the TPLF, now defeated, and not endorse the uniting of all of Ethiopia. You've also mentioned to me in the past Nigeria, which is about to go through a momentous election for a new president. And most recently, you mentioned Eswatini, part of South Africa's complex. These three states, do they see this changing of the guard in Eurasia differently or in the same fashion? They've got to look out for themselves, and the old order is gone.
Absolutely. And all of the key states now recognize that the U.S. is doing less and less to help them and can do less and less to help them. And the PRC is the only game in town in many respects. And the Beijing's link through Saudi Arabia actually then builds that bridge down to Africa and so on. So what we could see, for example, emerging is Beijing acting as the arbiter between Ethiopia and Egypt in helping to resolve the Nile waters dispute over the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam and the like. We could see a lot of countries saying, well, the U.S. is just not coming to save us. Now, that's was very much in the minds of the State Department and the U.S. government when it organized this second U.S.-Africa Leadership Summit, and I've been speaking to a number of the visitors who have been coming into Washington for this summit. The problem is that the summit is not going to create new friends. As the summit in 2015, President Obama organized it, it didn't create friends for the United States in Africa. And this time, I understand that none of the leaders coming to Washington, and that includes the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy, will get more than about 5 minutes with President Biden. They may get a bit more time with the Secretary of State, but a lot of them won't even get any time really privately with the Secretary of State. So that's not going to leave a good taste in many mouths. The reality is that the People's Republic of China is in economically dire straits and can do very, very little to help the African economy overall. And in fact, there are a lot of African states are saying, hey, we've taken out all these loans with China, and now they're asking for repayment, and we haven't actually got any benefits from these loans. But that particularly applies in Nigeria, where at least one of the presidential candidates has said publicly, look, I see all these loans which are supposedly outstanding to China, but we haven't seen where the money has been spent in any meaningful fashion. And that means that it's just been money being paid in a corrupt fashion to politicians and administrators, and we're going to seek redress on that. But it's a very complex web. The PRC has got massive influence in Africa, and by the way, has been using some of its allies in Africa to threaten little countries like Eswatini, former Swaziland, saying that if you don't give up your relations with Taiwan, the Republic of China, and switch them to the People's Republic of China, we will destroy you. And they've been using the South African government to largely carry out that campaign against Eswatini. What was interesting is that the Prime Minister of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa, recently made a state visit to the United Kingdom. And it was clear that he was starting to move his orientation away from Beijing and more back to London. As soon as he got back to Pretoria, the capital of South Africa, a big campaign started to emerge to overthrow Cyril Ramaphosa. And this is a poetic justice in a sense, because Cyril Ramaphosa has been carrying the water for Beijing for a long time, including personally threatening the king of Eswatini with all manner of destruction if he didn't switch from Taiwan to mainland China with his diplomatic recognition. So it's interesting that China is getting extremely active in Africa once again. The United States is definitely trying to do something in Africa to restore its original influence. But the loss of prestige which the U.S. has just suffered with this Xi visit to Saudi Arabia doesn't help the United States in rebuilding its case. I know that the State Department thinks that the African summit underway right now is going to help the United States, but they're going to have to be a lot more deep and complex and committed than they have been to this point.
Quickly, Gregory, because I want to head to Europe, but I want to stop off in North Africa. You report that the several states of North Africa remain devoted to the United States security and good relations. Is that correct? Morocco, Algeria, if you mentioned.
Well, no, Morocco, not Algeria. Algeria is actually much more under the influence of Russia at this stage, and to a degree the PRC. But the Algerian government itself is in the process of undergoing extreme stress. In other words, the old revolutionary guys may go. Morocco is very, very much supportive of the United States, but actually supportive of the old Trump administration, because President Trump ensured the recognition of Morocco's right of control over the former Spanish Sahara, which is traditionally part of Morocco.
All right, we're going to Europe, Gregory. We need to go to the war in Ukraine, because if I read you correctly, a deal turns on the Xi visit to Saudi Arabia and the future, not only for the war in Europe, but the potential war in Asia. That would be PRC and Taiwan. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.